the sun is shining and all of my favorite plant friends are popping up right now. Speaking of plants, what are you growing this year? Do you know? Do you know what kind of medicine will be in your garden? Or are you still trying to figure it out? Totally okay if you're still trying to figure it out. We're all growing and learning on this journey, right? But if you want some help, I do have a family medicine garden guide. It's basically 10 essential herbs that I feel like every mom needs to know and grow in their yard. I give you some growing tips and ways that you can use it as medicine, and it's totally free. So if you want that, I'm going to pop a link in the show notes here for you to grab it and get your hands digging in the dirt and growing incredible medicine for you and your family. Hello, and welcome to The Herbalist Path, a podcast where you'll discover how to make your own herbal remedies at home so that you can take better care of yourself, better care of your family, and better care of our planet. I'm Mel. I'm a clinical herbalist, environmental educator, and mountain living mama with this crazy passion for teaching more mamas and their little loves how to use plants as medicine in a safe, effective, and tasty way so that there can be an herbalist in every home again. It's an absolute honor to have you on the journey down the herbalist path with me so that together, we can make herbalism. Hashtag spread like wildflowers. Hello, and welcome back to another episode on The Herbalist Path. I am super psyched about today's guest, Miss Andrea Schumann. She is somebody I have known through the grapevine of health and well-being. We both ran product companies together outside of the Portland, Oregon area. When I was running my herbal products company, Mountain Mel, she was running a ghee company, and we would see each other all the time in great circles and herbal circles and all of these wonderful, wonderful places. Today, she runs another company called Microdrops, which we'll talk about a little bit later. I'm super excited to have her here because she is brilliant with herbal medicine and formulation, and she's a mama, and she knows what she's talking about. So, Andrea, welcome to The Herbalist Path.
Thank you so much for having me on, Mel. I've been so excited for this. You are one of my favorite herbalists, and I do not say that lightly.
That's an honor. That's amazing. Thank you. That feels really, really good. Wow. Okay. So where to start? There's so much to talk about. I know this is definitely a thing. But one thing I love to just get things rolling with here is just hearing a little bit about, like, how did you get into using plant medicine? Andrea, the herbalist. Yeah.
Yeah. It starts a really long time ago because I come from, on my mom's side, a line of pretty rural, family and women. And so there's a lot of folk use of plants that got passed down through the years. My grandmother smoked catnip when she was feeling like she needed to relax. She would make catnip tea when she had tummy ache. They were very mixed into our lives in a really normalized way. And then, my mom, one of her favorite herbal allies was whorehound, which sort of tortured us as children. Because of course, if you've ever had whorehound tea, it's not like, I actually like it more now, and it brings a resonance of my childhood and a familiarity. And I've taken much more bitter herbs at this point. But as a child, she would threaten us. She would say, "Are you really sick? Because if you stay home, I'm going to make you drink whorehound tea." And I'd be like, actually, I'm feeling better. I think I'll get to school.
I'm on top of the world. Oh my goodness. What a good threat.
And she would make all kinds of stuff with it too. Like, she'd make cough drops and syrups. And it was just really normalized. She just did it. She wasn't an herbalist, nor did she ever call herself an herbalist. It was just the thing she did. And then, as I got a little bit older and when I was 17, it was the first time I ever got to really treat myself herbally. And I got my first UTI and I was like, what do I do here? And I didn't have, I had just graduated high school. I was on my, I left my house pretty early at 17. I was on my own. I didn't really like want to have a big discussion about UTIs with my parents. And I had to figure out like, what do I do about this? And so my first foray into treating a UTI was by meeting Uversi and understanding what I needed to do there. And then, you know, so it went on in the early days with those like women's health type of treatments. So yeast infections, things like that. Like, what do you like these really common things that happen in early sexual activity for people. And so like that was something I learned to treat first. And so it really put me in an empowered space early on. And so I went from those understandings just to really like, it just made more sense to me to use plants. I wasn't oriented towards prescription medicines. My dad has been on opiates for chronic pain conditions since 1997, since OxyContin was released. My mom had spent the last 30 years until she recently came off with the help of some other herbal medicines on antidepressants. So I had been a little bit scarred by the pharmaceutical industry, by how much impact it had on me growing up. And so it just seemed really normal and natural for me to fold into herbal medicine. So every time I needed to treat something, I started looking to herbal medicine. And as soon as I turned 18, I no longer had health insurance. So we didn't have the rider until you were 26 when I was a kid, and health insurance wasn't extended to me. And so I didn't really have any option but to consider herbal medicine as my main form of treatment. So it came from a really practical place. And then, you know, at 17 years old, I enrolled in massage school. I was the youngest person ever to enroll in the Finger Lakes School of Massage at that time. And, you know, right then I was really absorbed into the alternative health community. I got my first kind of initiations into energy medicine and all these different things. And plant medicine just seemed obvious. I didn't have, as I moved through this time, I went to Ayurvedic school, a little bit later on. So it's been a journey that has just seemed there didn't seem to be other doors that wanted to open. It was just that herbal medicine has kind of always been with me.
I love that. I love that you also had the recognition as a teenager of how much the pharmaceuticals were messing with your parents. Like, I think at that time of my life, like when I was that age, I was in Georgia. I was outside of Atlanta, Georgia, and I was flipping through the big catalogs to go to NUNM. And I had no idea really that later I would become an herbalist and teach at NUNM and community classes and whatnot. But it was definitely drawing me to that. But I don't think I really connected at that age that the pharmaceutical industry was so whack. It was just that I knew there had to be something better. Like, I like the natural thing. So I love that you had that awareness.
I'm not sure I fully connected it. I just saw what they were treating and saw that it wasn't working.
Yeah.
You know, and so I was like, wow, that's a lot of pills to take for something that doesn't appear to be working. And it just wasn't available. As soon as my insurance dropped, it wasn't available to me. I was like 18, trying to support myself. Like, I just didn't, I was like, the idea of going in and spending a couple hundred dollars to go to the doctor was like, are you kidding me? When I can go and get a $13 tincture from the, you know, health food store, it just seemed like a no brainer. Right. You know, and yeah. I have plenty of herbal books. My mom had a bunch of compendiums of herbal. I mean, she would never consider herself an herbalist, which is really funny. She's never treated other people, but there was always like an encyclopedia of herbs somewhere in my house. So I can always refer to it.
I love that. And I'm super excited for your mom. Like, after 30 years of being on antidepressants, how is she doing? And do you mind sharing a little bit of that shift she's been able to make? Like, how has she
Yeah, she's given me permission to share her story. So I wouldn't share anything I hadn't been given permission to. But with, I always want to tell people that the adventure of coming off of psychiatric meds is not one to be taken lightly. Mm-hmm. It is, I think what people want to hear is, oh, I gave her herbs and she came off of these and it was super easy. And now everything's sunshine and rainbows and it's super awesome. But that's not really how it works.
Thank you for that preface.
Yeah. I mean, the reality is that almost all psychiatric medications come with significant withdrawal symptoms. And the longer you've been on them, the worse and longer they are. There's really functions that they shut down in your own natural chemistry that take a while to come online and really need help to come back online. And really the most difficult part is that people find themselves in this loop where they start coming off of a medication. They probably come off it too quickly because tapering isn't actually taught in medical school. So it's not something that most doctors really have any access to. They're probably WebMDing it just along with everybody else. They do not have taper schedules that they are working with. And almost all the time, they give you a taper schedule that is too fast. So what happens is people will start their taper. They will have some sort of massive backlash. Either they have a huge mood swing, they have some kind of minor psychotic episode, they have suicidal thoughts, they have super angry outbursts. And the takeaway is, oh, I'm too sick to come off of this medication. Mm-hmm. When they don't realize that what's happening is I am in withdrawal from this medication, which is a very different framing. So what's going on now is that she's experienced in the past year, like one of the worst, you know, traumas you can experience. We lost my brother in September.
I'm sorry.
What I will say is that she was off the meds before that. And even during it, she knew she didn't want to go back on the meds. Mm-hmm. So that tells you something really important. So she knew that even in the middle of the worst experience in her life, that it would not make her better to go on those meds. She had tried so hard to get off them. She had finally un-gaslighted herself with the help of, you know, looking at, you know, there's a wonderful resource called survivingantidepressants.org where there's thousands of aggregated stories about people coming off of these medicines. It helped her depersonalize what she was experiencing and realize it was just withdrawal. So, you know, with that said, I mean, I'm developing a relationship with my mom I never had. Wow. So it's a really wonderful thing. And I couldn't be feeling more grateful about it. And so grateful to the plant medicines that help bridge that gap and, you know, and continue to do so.
Yeah, what a great story. And I'm sure that she is developing a whole new relationship with her own self as well. Like, how powerful is that?
She's much more self-empowered, honestly, than she was before. So
absolutely. And I've heard you use this word empowered a couple of times in this call already. And it's one of my favorite words to use when it comes to plant medicine. I just want to hear you riff a little bit on why you choose to use the word empowered with plant medicine.
I wanted to take a quick pause to show some love and gratitude to our sponsors of the Herbalist Path podcast, who make this show possible for me and possible for you too. So here it goes.
I love this time of year. It's spring, the sun is shining, and all of our beautiful plant friends are popping up. It's amazing. Unless, of course, you're one of the millions of people who suffer from seasonal allergies. You know, the itchy, watery eyes, the sneezing and wheezing that's straight miserable. Thankfully, there are some amazing herbs that can help you with all of that. Just like the herbs inside of Kick-Ass Allergy from Wish Garden Herbs, one of my absolute favorite herbal companies out there. Kick-Ass Allergy, yes, I said ask without the K at the end. Anyways, this formula has yerba santa, nettles, echinacea for that immune support, and orange peels, all which come together to help dry up those excessive mucosal secretions. Yep, I'm talking about the sniffles and the stuffy nose, the watery eyes, and all that jazz. This blend also acts as a great expectorant and can help ease the swelling and inflammation in those mucosal tissues. It is a top go-to for seasonal allergies. And get this, they combine all those beautiful herbs with glycerin, so it actually tastes pretty darn good. Or should I say, it tastes kick-ass, without the K at the end. Anyways, if allergy season is miserable for you and you want a natural remedy that actually works for those itchy eyes and being all sneezy and wheezy, you have got to check out Wish Garden Herbs Kick-Ass Allergy. And for those of you with the little kiddos, no sweat, they've got a kick-it allergy too. And you pregnant mamas, you don't have to suffer either. They've got a kick-ass allergy formula just for you. So head over to wishgardenherbs.com or check out the link in the show notes and go grab yourself some kick-ass allergy so you can enjoy spring again.
I feel like it's one of those places that we still have access to making our own judgments and choices. As soon as we walk into a doctor's office, which I have many doctor friends, and I am not at all opposed to the medical establishment doing what they do. I'm the first one to walk into an emergency room if I have a broken leg or a gunshot wound. I will never dismiss it. Okay. Yes. But if I have a UTI, I'm not going to my doctor unless I've ignored it for 6 weeks and it's advanced to a kidney infection. In fact, there are many reasons I don't walk into my doctor first, and that is because of an immediate power differential happens. And what we've done in at least this society, and I think in most societies when it comes to Western medicine in particular, I don't believe this extends to the Eastern medicine relationship, but when we go into a Western medicine situation, we're told it's... What comes to mind is that scene from Monty Python where the woman's giving birth and all the doctors are around her. And she's trying to be like, hey, she's trying to say something, but hey, I don't think we need to do that. And they say, quiet, dear, you're not qualified, you know? And like, it's like this big joke where it's like, oh, you're not qualified to know what the hell's going on in your own body, but you are the most brilliant doctor you can have about what's going on. Nobody has a better assessment of what's happening in here than you do if you're able to tune into yourself. And so one of the first things that you can do is just recognize that all plants you interact with can be medicine, no matter whether they're celery or whether they're, you know, some, you know, major potent plant medicine. So when I say empowered, it's like, do you have to go and get approval to treat absolutely everything in your life? Is it necessary to outsource everything? Because I don't think it is, you know, I think at this point, you know, especially with all the jokes about Dr. Google, honestly, Dr. Google's gotten pretty decent over the last many years and you can find out a lot of things.
You can, but navigating that. Absolutely. You can. It also gets overwhelming over there, I think.
It does. But when, you know, when I say empowered, it's like, I want people to take back the narrative around whose body it is, whose health it is, whose mental health it is, and who's in charge of it. Because like, you don't, like, your doctor's not in charge of it. The doctor should be there from a collaborative relationship. So you go in and you say, this is what I've experienced. This is what I'm looking for help with. Not take all my power and tell me what to do, because like, that really decenters the person who is most equipped to change.
Absolutely. I love that. I think that is really, really a fantastic breakdown. There's so many levels of empowerment with it. It's incredible. It takes me back to like when my daughter was about two. I was already studying herbalism for a long time. I was running my herbal product line. And I remember calling my naturopath. She got sick and I'm like, oh my gosh, what do I do? And they were like, Mel, you know what to do. You don't need to come see us. I was like, what? What do you mean I don't need to come see you? Like, this is my two-year-old. I'm a relatively new mom still. And then it took me a moment. I got off that call and I was like, oh my God, they're so right. Like, I do know what I'm talking about. And I am totally empowered to choose different plant medicines for my family.
But at the same time, that's one of those really tender situations where, you know, I've been through that situation where I couldn't be my practitioner. But luckily, I had a good enough network and I had a naturopath that I could say, hey, I've hit this real wall where my brain is crazy foggy and my life is out of control. And I can't even think of the formula that I need, even though it's a formula I probably would have given to someone in the past. And just getting that hand up from somebody so that you can be like, oh, okay, wait a minute. Thank you for that formula that helped clear my head. Now I can make choices for myself. Some of it is just about like surrounding yourself with people that when you are vulnerable and you do need to have assistance with your power, that they're not people who will take it and run with it, but rather will help you get to the place where you are back into a place where you can make a good decision for yourself.
Absolutely. I mean, even as healers and practitioners, we need our other healers for sure. That's amazing to have that network and really quite a gift. It is.
Yeah. Beautiful. And not everybody has it, as I like have one of the coolest doctors and naturopaths ever. And I'm like, when I describe her, I'm like, wait a minute, why doesn't everyone have a doctor this cool? But
like, mine is amazing. I actually met her when I was pregnant and we had 3 interviews set up to go meet midwives. And we met her and she was our first interview. And we started talking about dogs and skiing. And we were like, we're canceling the rest of our interviews. And to this day, I love her so much. She's absolutely wonderful.
Well, of course, in Ayurvedic medicine, one of the things they talk to you about is the practitioner having that relationship with the patient and the trust being the preeminent, you know, condition needing to be provided in order for healing to take place. So if that relationship doesn't feel harmonious or it feels authoritarian, it automatically puts a clamp on your ability to heal.
Absolutely. I so agree. So I want to talk quickly about Ayurvedic medicine. I am a Western herbalist, so I know a little bit about Ayurvedic herbs, but I don't know a lot. And I wonder if you can break down just some of the subtle or not so subtle differences between Ayurveda and Western medicine, because most of my listeners hear from me as a Western herbalist. So
And so fundamentally, one of the first things to say is that there's no such thing as an Ayurvedic herb. There's any herb can be used in an Ayurvedic manner, right? So that's really, I mean, some herbs have proclivity for the system because they come from that area or they have history being used there. They're just not very common here. So there's that, but any herb can be used Ayurvedically. There's some verbiage that's different. So what we call tonifying and what a Western herbalist calls tonifying means 2 different things. So your tonifying herbs in your Ayurvedic system tend to be very heavy and sweet and building. Whereas that's not how tonifying herbs are looked at in the Western system. Many tonifying herbs, we wouldn't use that verbal classification, but that just is because it's defined differently. So same, but not really defined the same. So we would just have called them something else in that class. So usually reproductive herbs are considered tonifying in the Ayurvedic system. So the ones that hit you in the deepest parts of your body. And so I would say, first of all, understanding Ayurveda is an elemental system. So everything is looked at through energetics, through the rasa, virya, and vipak. The rasa is the taste of the herb. The virya is the proclivity for temperature, cooling, or heating. And the vipak is what we call the post-digestive effect. So what do you end up with? So what is the energy that's left in your body at the end? So, you know, sometimes you have things that start out sweet and end up sweet and build up in your body. Sometimes you have things that start out sweet, end up pungent, which have a different energetic effect in your body. Whether it's heating or cooling really matters to the individual. So, you know, we wouldn't give a blanket herb for a thing. So we wouldn't say you're struggling with fertility, you all must use Shatavari. You're struggling for fertility, you must use blessed thistle. Any number of these things, like what are you struggling with in your fertility specifically? What is the nature of this struggle that you're having? What is your fundamental makeup of the elements in your body, and which ones are not working so well right now? So we have the Prakriti, and then the Vikruti, which is the imbalance. So the Prakriti is like that which you were born with. Like everybody has all of the elements. They have the earth and the ether and the water and the fire. Everybody's got all of these elements in them, but some of us sort of have more of a few of these things out. So Ayurveda is broken into, from a really generalized way, what we call the three doshas. People think of them as body mind types, but technically dosha means that which goes out of balance. So it is the way that you have a proclivity to go out of balance. So for me, I'm very Pitta Kapha. If I'm going to go out of balance, Pitta is the first one to go out of balance. So if you really knock me off my game, I'm going to get irritable and kind of fiery. Whereas some other people, when you knock them off their game, might be nervous and withdrawn. Some other people might be like really like shooting their energy out, like, you know, running around and buzzing around. So everybody has a natural way that they go out of balance. And then that goes on multiple levels in your system. So there's a correlation. Those people that get irritable also get loose stools, or like, you know, kind of like a faster digestion. People who withdraw and get nervous often get constipation, withholding. So all these energetics start to make sense in a larger system. So you really need to understand the container of the system to understand Ayurvedic herbalism. And I do believe that Western herbs can be applied. You can use all Western herbs in an Ayurvedic practice and use them Ayurvedically, because every herb can be classified that way. One of the most fun projects I ever did, because I'm a dork and I love sitting down with dorky projects, is when I owned an herbal apothecary in Portland. This is literally the most fun I've ever had as a business owner. Like it could have been a research project in college. Like I kind of wish it had been, but like, I had like all of these herbs all over the wall, and my job was to classify them with their Latin name, their Sanskrit name, their pinyin name, and their Western, the common name. And what I found was all of these herbs that were common throughout the systems that people didn't even connect. Like, I mean, they weren't even connected in books. Like, so they were like, it wasn't like, oh, this is this, and it's also using this system for this. There was no overlay system that I found. So it's like, you know, shatavari is Indian asparagus root, is also tianmen dong in Chinese medicine. They have different applications. They're prepared in different ways. In Chinese medicine, they honey fry the root strips, and they're using it for lung tonification. It is a primary reproductive herb in Indian medicine. It's not prepared that way. It's almost always ground into a powder. So, you know, what I learned over time was that we're all connected. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the same thing. I came back to the fundamental circle of like, oh, no, there's not. These aren't different things. There's a literal kaleidoscope that you could turn just one half direction and see things in an entirely different light. So I just love Ayurveda because it was a system that spoke to me. It was the one that makes most sense. I totally get it. I get like why I pick up one nut butter and it might be not appropriate for me, and why I, you know, like why certain teas don't vibe with me, or ones make me feel really happy. Like, because I understand the energetics, I can make choices aligned, you know, throughout my day and experience, not just with herbs.
Yeah, I love that. I think, I mean, obviously in Western herbalism, energetics is the big main thing as well. It's just all a bunch of different names. So I love that you had that. You said it was your shop, your apothecary?
But yeah, I used to own, be one of the owners of the Ahara Rasa Ayurvedic Center, which was around for a few years in, you know, Woodstock neighborhood of Portland. And we had a really lovely apothecary and did custom formulas for people. It was a great experience.
Awesome. Yeah. I love and miss my apothecary, like I was talking about right before we hit record on this show. So I didn't know that about you. That's awesome. And what a fun project of categorizing all of those herbs.
Yeah. Someday I really want to write a book and have them side by side and really see it in visual representation. Cause like it's still a little bit of a dream.
Were you smart enough then to do that all like on, I guess it would have been a Word doc back then.
I actually do have it somewhere in a Google sheet in one of my many Gmail accounts that I will at some point extract and finish, but.
Or hire someone to.
It was limited to the apothecary we had. So we probably had about 80 herbs, you know, or maybe we had more than that. Maybe we had a couple hundred now that I think about the shelves, but like, yeah, it was about that.
That's awesome. What a fun, fun project. I always, when I had my apothecary, I was like, ooh, you know, I want to do all of those parts, like make all the labels and such. And I was like, and yet I have all of these people that want to learn from me. So your job will be to...
I know. It's sometimes fun just to take back the power of one of those specific, like, you know, things where it's like, you know, I could have an intern do that job, but like I would have missed out on the whole experience of bridging those understandings for myself, which was really helpful as an herbalist.
Yeah. And that's so, I think as you spoke about that, it really reminded me of one of the greatest things I love about being an herbalist is that it is that never ending learning. Like you can dive deep into Western herbalism and just keep learning forever. And you can also add on some of the Ayurvedic things and the Chinese medicine things and all of these other cultures and people of the world that have used plants as medicine in so many incredible ways.
There are millions
of never-ending learning.
Yeah, I mean, so like fun. if you don't approach herbalism with beginner's mind, you're missing out. You know what I mean? It's like that's really where the joy of it is. It's like you don't go to learn herbalism just to become an expert and like tell everybody stuff exclusively. Because some of the most fun thing, I'm sure you found this, is like you hear one thing and you're like, oh, wait a minute. Is that how you work with milk thistle? I never really knew that that's how you harvested it or you could eat those shoots in that way or like, and it's exciting.
It's never ending and it's so much fun. And that's why I love teaching because I have these students and they're all brilliant and they're looking to me like I know everything and clearly I don't. Maybe they don't look at me like that, but hopefully they don't because I don't. I am still learning with them. And even just the other day, I have this amazing student that I love so much. She lives in my community and she's like in her 80s or close to it. And she was actually a psychologist and so is her husband. Really, really neat people. But she wrote to me the other day about a new use for plantain, one of the herbs I have known for so long and have used in so many ways. And this is just like 2 weeks ago. And she's like, wow, it did this for us. And I'm like, thank you for teaching me another new thing about a plant that I know and love dearly and deeply. It's so rad.
That's so brilliant. I love it.
It's so much fun. So plantain is definitely an herb I talk about a lot, and it's one of my absolute favorites. And I know that child Andrea does not love Horehound. I think your mom is genius for saying, oh, you don't want to go to school? Here's some Horehound. That is so funny. But I would love to hear, I mean, you're a mama. You have a kiddo that is my kiddo's age. My daughter's 9. She'll be 10 in July. You have a couple of kids though, right?
Yeah, I've got 2. I've got a 6-year-old and a 9-year-old boys, and they are nutballs, fun, and just crazy kids.
Super fun. So what are some of your favorite ways to use herbs with your kids? Or do they have some favorite herbs that they just love or...
So actually we were talking about our favorite unscalable herb recipes. One of my favorite is what I call the mother. I did sell it in my ghee business that I used to have, but the truth is making true herbally extracted ghees is really cumbersome, takes a minute. It's sort of a labor of love and you have to learn how to do it. And it's, you know, infused ghees are not cheap but they're cheaper to make. So like, they're not cheap to buy. So like if I make it and sell it to you, it's way more expensive than if you take and do the work to make it yourself. So I will freely give this out here, but like, it is, three of my favorite, herbal allies, neem, turmeric, and licorice. So that with those three, the classical herbal formulation for an infused ghee is, one is to four is to 16. They say one, if you're using the empirical system, 1 ounce of herbs by weight, to 4 ounces of ghee by volume, to 16 ounces of water by volume. And you basically make a strong tea you put the herbs in the water and boil it down about 60%. And then you add your already made ghee that you've already made elsewhere into it, and then long cook it until all of the water, 100% of all of the water is out of it. And then you strain it through, and what you have is a very potent first aid ointment. Frankly, oh. You can use it for everything. And so my tagline on that was for owies, itchies, boo-boos, and privates. Mm-hmm. And it was like, literally, like, you got a cut, you put it on there. You got a scrape, you put it on there. Your kid's been licking their lips and it's all chat. That's what was going on in my house. They were doing that thing where they're like, they had a horrible...
She would get clown mouth.
he immediately goes, he's like, where's the mother, you know, and he'll put it on. Like, little boys have sore penis, something like that. They have like sores, not sores, but a sore, you know, situation, butts, you know, diaper rash, you know, women with BV, any number of, like, I mean, herpes, cold sores on the face. It's like literally everything. I just absolutely love this ointment that I make. I think you should make it. I literally think everybody should take the time to make it and have it in their house. But it's literally equal parts of the three herbs. And if you follow that recipe, it does take a little while to get used to it, but that's one of my favorites. I always have, in the house, I always have, let's see, for the kids, they get elderberry. You know, elderberry is kind of a common one to have. We always have some type of elderberry tonic. Although I had a kiddo that went through an autoimmune issue that, and during autoimmune times, elderberry is not my favorite because of its stimulating qualities. So even though we think of it as very gentle, it's actually really powerful, you know, herb, and, you know, safe for a lot of things and a lot of people and all that stuff, but not for every instance. So that one's there. I would say peppermint is a pretty common one that my kids are comfortable using. You know, they are very used to the use of Manuka honey. We use Manuka a lot. My kids are also really, they're okay with some tinctures. So we do use some. I make what I call glycohols. I prefer them over glycerin, for I'm sure the reason that many of your listeners know that, you know, I don't know what percentage you have, but I have the you know, glycerin extracts are about, only about 30% of the strength of an alcohol extract, but a glycohol is where you extract an alcohol and then you add the glycerin water and remove all the alcohol so that what you have is a really potent glycerin. And so I tend to use those with my kids when I need to use them because the alcohol isn't always great. Propolis, they don't love it, but like I use it a lot. It's one of my favorites. So I mean, I lean on more Western herbs a lot of the time.
Well, they're here. Yeah. They're here. Exactly. So that makes sense. They're right here.
Yeah. And the Ayurvedic principle of Satmya, the Ayurvedic principle of Satmya says use what's around you. Right. Use what you, where you came from, you know, if it's in your lineage or if it's in your home. Yeah.
I love that. What awesome advice and tips on things for people to make and create. I do have a question about the mother, and I may know this, but I so want to hear it from you. Shelf life with ghee and
forever.
Medicine. That's what I thought. I was like, you go through that process of, because I've made my own ghee. I do it in the Instant Pot. I love it. Like, I would just get tons of good quality butter from Azure Standard and make myself a big old batch. But yeah, that was
the killer of ghee is light. This is what light and water, people don't realize this. So You don't sit the mother on the counter. It will kill it. You don't sit the mother on you don't take a wet spoon and stick it in there. No dirty butt fingers, as I say, like no dirty butt fingers in the mother, you know, so you keep away from contamination. But light is literally the worst thing that you can expose any good oil to is light. And it's particularly ghee. If your ghee turns white, you have made it rancid from light. So always keep it in a cool, dark place. You do not need to refrigerate it, and you shouldn't, because it's not useful when it's refrigerated. It's too hard.
Nice. That's awesome. The ghee genius. I love it. Okay. What else do I want to ask you? There's so much fun stuff that you're dropping in this episode. I can't wait to share it with people. If you were to give a mama advice, I mean, you just gave a buttload of advice, but if there were like one little piece of like a mom who's just kind of starting to get into this world and maybe finds it a bit overwhelming because there is so much to learn, what would you say to that mama right now?
Say build a very modest pharmacy. Always have turmeric. Always have turmeric. You can literally pack an open wound with turmeric. So like, it's a very, very useful, like even in first aid situations, I say always have neem, always have turmeric, always have aloe, you know, always have elderberry. So you should have a living aloe plant. You should have, a good stash of these few things. You can use them for a lot of things. Don't overwhelm your cupboard with a bunch of stuff you're not going to use. Instead, just find a few key herbs that can be used over and over again, which, as I say, with kids, for me, I use a lot of turmeric because they hurt themselves a lot. It's also like really useful as a gargle, you know, kids are getting sick, little salt water. I always add the turmeric to it. So they're gargling. It's an excellent antimicrobial. Aloe can be obviously used for burns. It can be used to mix your turmeric with to apply as a paste. So things that can be used in multi-use ways, always have those and have them fresh. Never ever buy these things in a bottle. Like, you never want to buy a bottle of turmeric. If ever possible, the best way to keep these herbs in bulk is to get them not even ground into a powder yet. So the best way to get would be to do like turmeric chips. If you have cinnamon chips, keep them like this because they last much, much longer in airtight containers, and have a dedicated thing to grind. So, and have like a mortar and pestle so you can mix some stuff up. So if you have just a few of these things, you have a mortar and pestle, you got a coffee grinder for your spices, and you have three or four herbal allies that can be used, because literally neem and turmeric can go in if you have, if you're having an infection. Neem's very bitter. But you can also capsule it. You know, it can go in to kill an infection. It can go on to kill an infection. So these things, and then have some things that your kids just like elderberry, make it in a way that they like, and then include things that are lovely, like cinnamon and ginger, and that make their experience of taking it really fun. And, you know, so I would say those are my biggest pieces of advice. Find three or four things, make sure they're fresh all the time, and just learn a few core uses of those herbal allies. Make friends with a few herbs.
Yeah, I love that advice in so many ways, so many things. I was like, oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. Let her keep rolling. That's one of the things I like to share a lot, is like, it's not about knowing 80 to 100 different herbs. It's about knowing just a handful of herbs and how you can use them 80 different ways, because
you absolutely are correct. Cause I mean, think about cultures that are like in the Arctic, or like, you know, like they don't have a lot of stuff to choose from. They repurpose things in multiple different ways. So like, these herbs are very intelligent. They have many, many uses.
They are so smart, aren't they? Like, it's mind blowing, which brings me to like, oh yeah, I've got to go answer this question in my apothecary mama group on yarrow, how it can be both styptic and yet can also promote blood flow. So brilliant plants. Yeah. But speaking of brilliant, like, I love listening to your story because it's so much fun. Like, we're both very go, 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 get it done, ambitious kind of women, and obviously like addicted to running businesses and creating ideas. So we've been like, Priya brought it up before we started recording, that we're not sure that we've even actually had a live conversation but we've known each other through all of these circles for so long, or like messaged, like,
seems business, like I've known you for a long time.
Like message business advice and like, oh my gosh, we're both closing our businesses at the same time. And like all these different things. And I just learned that you also had an apothecary and I had an apothecary. And now you have another super freaking rad business that I am really excited about. And to hear you talk about micro drops right now, if you don't mind, I would love to.
Oh, no, I don't mind at all. No, micro drops was born out of need. I, you know, had found myself, you know, parenting two young kids below school age, you know, primarily on my own while my partner worked, while trying to run my ghee business from two states away and having terrible supply chain issues and just really going down in the dumps. And
I remember those supply chain issue times for you.
It was really rough. I was also weaning my son and I really just got kicked with some weaning depression that with all my overwhelm was not being well managed and got me to a place where I just really needed some help. And I think we talked about this before we even started going on, but like I was lucky enough to have, you know, a brilliant naturopathic doctor who gave me some adaptogen formulas and got me, I say like in my visual is that my head popped above the water so I could breathe for a second. And then, you know, I started working with some other medicines and primarily, you know, microdrops came out because I started working with microdosing, which is the very minute use of specific psychedelic medicines. In this case, it was psilocybin mushrooms. It's when you use the substance in such a small amount that there is no perceptual effect in your physicality, or, you know, there's you can do a spreadsheet, parent your children, drive your car, all those things. But I was given a microdose tincture that wasn't even very well made. In fact, I thought that it had... I thought that it was extracted in vinegar, but it actually had gone off. and even then, I took a little bit of it and it made this really big difference. And what I was started seeing when I was started looking into microdosing was that people were using it for creativity or focus or depression or anxiety. And this was back in the, you know, kind of 2000 teens. And I said, as an Ayurvedic practitioner, I said, well, how are we using one thing to do all of those things when they're all directionally different? And so I started talking to people and realizing, well, some people would say, oh, it worked for me. Some people would say, oh, no, it didn't work for me. And my background as an Ayurvedic practitioner said, well, herbs like friends. It's like almost like, I want to say what's the word? It's not polite to ask one thing to do all those things without community support. So like I set to the task of making formulas that would support this mushroom to do what it needed to do best. And for me, what it needed to do was to pull me out of a dark hole, to get my brain clear again, because I had really just been in the Western world of unsupported motherhood with, you know, no family support, you know, and no matter how much herbal knowledge you have, it doesn't really help when you don't have sleep or, you know, and you have two little kids, one of which is trying to wean. Yeah, it's just a lot, you know? And so I think that we look out, sometimes we're like, oh, well, this person should have all the answers. You know, it's like, I didn't have all the answers. I really needed help. So I started formulating these things, and my first few tries didn't taste great. And I was like, you know, these work, but they don't taste great. And I just realized I was at a point in my life where I really wanted to put something in my coffee and have it taste really good. I wanted to put it in my tea, and I wanted to have a lot of pleasure interacting with this thing. And I was sick of holding my nose and taking tinctures that I didn't appreciate the taste of. And remembering how important my Ayurvedic teachers would say, you need to love your herbs as you're taking them. Tell them how much you love them. And it's so much easier to do that when you have created something that really works for you. So I made my formulas all have six tastes in them. They have all the breadth and experience of taste. They're based in the idea of Ayurvedic rasayana, which is formulas that build up the energy. And in this case, they're mixes of herbal adaptogens, functional mushrooms like lion's mane, foods like cacao and dates, and rich oils like hemp oil, and in some of our formulas, coconut MCT oils, which really bolster the mental wellness system. So that's why I created Microdrops. They've helped me tremendously. I feel like an entirely different person than before I started even taking my own formulas. And now they're really helping, you know, many, many people every day. And so I really love it. And, you know, we're in this space. These formulas do work in support of microdosing, but they can absolutely be taken on their own. And so, you know, with my mom's story, she used both, both psilocybin microdosing and my Microdrops to come off of those antidepressants. And, it's been really great for her and, you know, helped me to avoid going down that path.
Oh, that's so fun, because you know I love making medicine super yummy. I'm curious about some of the different functionalities in your formulas. Like, I know you have a few of them. So what are they aiming to do in those?
Yeah, so we've color-coded them, because one of the feedbacks I got from really tired moms was like, they didn't really want to have to think through the situation of which formulas were there. So you can see our red and orange line we call microactive. It's for your, I say, your couch locked and depressed, needing of mood elevation folks. And also those of us who are headed into perimenopause and start hitting that 2 p.m. afternoon wall that maybe some people are familiar with.
Wait, what?
I don't know what I mean. Anyway, all of these are on what I call my micro synergy based platform. So they all have lion's mane, which is, promotes neurogenesis and attention and memory, and just beautiful mushroom that also tastes amazing. If you ever get a chance to eat a fresh one, please do. They are also have Brahmi, which is also known as Bacopa herb. Some people get it a little confused. Some people think it's Centella Asiatica, which it is not. It's that's Gotocola, they all have Brahmi, they all have passion flower, which is, you know, nervine regulator. And then they all have cacao, they all have dates. And then on top of that, they each have an herbal complex that kicks them in one direction or the other. So the micro synergy base consistently builds up in your system, while the microactive line also has has Korean ginseng, tulsi, which is holy basil, and has cinnamon. And so if you know about those herbs, you'll know that they kind of bust through fog and they elevate you and they lift you up. And the cinnamon really kind of, it's true cinnamon, it's not kasha. So it really helps stimulate the system. I always get like, I always think people should know that true cinnamon and cinnamon kasha are different things. Yeah. And they have different medicinal applications. And then we've got our micro flow line, which is, I say, my my happy mom formula for those of us who get like when our kids poke at us. So this is my formula that I use most for me, the more for the heated type of mind state. So that one has the micro synergy base, as I mentioned, but also has Gotocola. So on top of the Brahmi, also has Gotocola. Similar herbs, not the same though. They have similar applications. And then it also has rhodiola, and it also has cardamom. We always formulate with a spice. We call it a deepana. It helps you to digest the formula. I say that's one of the bigger differences between Western herbalism and Ayurveda. You almost never see a formula without what you call a deepana, because the idea is you must be able to digest it in order to get the properties from it. So it's like a kicker, like a catalyst. So those have cardamom and rhodiola and gotocola, and we kind of repeat those formulations. We've got more things under these lines as well. And then we've got your micro calm line that's for more of the anxious pull your balloon string down energy. And that has layered on it microdosed kava kava. We use a CO2 extracted kava kava, and we use a microdose of it, like 15 milligrams per thing. So that's like a tiny bit that helps you to be able to ground without being tired. Ashwagandha, mucuna purens, which is known as kapikachu in Ayurvedic medicine, and is the primary herb that the drug for Parkinson's disease was developed from. So levodopa, L-dopa is the primary drug for Parkinson's disease. Mucuna has a rich source of levodopa. So it's a dopamine regulator, also just helps to stabilize the nervous system.
Mm,
And then they also have ginger and black pepper. Did I say ashwagandha? They do have ashwagandha.
You did say ashwagandha, but the ginger and black pepper, you did not.
Yeah, ginger and black pepper. So that one's a more, even more complex formula in there. And so, and then each of our formulas, we have CBD and non-CBD versions. So the ones on the top you'll see are the infused with full spectrum hemp CBD as well. So for people who like to add that as part of their ritual, we include that in some of our formulas. Yeah. So that's the basis of it. But we also have many other products that we've been coming out with, and it's just sort of, we're kind of rolling them out, and that's the core of the line.
So much fun. Such brilliant formulations. Such Thank good you. Medicine, not medicine. Never said that was medicine. Good stuff. That's amazing. So I also want to tell my listeners where to find you. And you can find her at microdrops.com, but that's an microdrops.com. And Andrea is amazing and is going to give my listeners a 10% discount.
Off. $10 off, actually.
Oh, sorry. I just saw the 10 and I was like, oh. But $10 off, which is also so generous and stellar. Thank you so much. So if you go there, you can use, I'll put a link in the show notes for sure, but you can also use the code THP10 and get your discount at MicroDrops, which I highly recommend, because if you didn't just listen to this show and how brilliant Andrea is with herbs and formulations and really being in tune with the human body and mom life and how tough that can be, like, you mamas are listening to this, I know we've all been through the tough times of mom life, and she knows how to help you with it. So I think it's so great what you're doing. It's exciting. And as somebody who loves to formulate, like, as I hear you, I'm like, oh, I want to play with that. And I want to play with that. And I want to play with that. Oh my gosh. So much fun.
Isn't it just so much fun? I love it. I love it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. So how else can my listeners find you out in the world?
You can find me in a lot of places. I'm at microdrops.com, but we have really big plans here in Oregon, and you'll be hearing more about that in times coming up. But for now, go to microdrops.com. You can micro with a Y. You can find me right there. You can also go on our Instagram. We're at microdrops on all social media. I don't love managing social media, but I do love my community. So if you would follow us on social media, it makes me so happy. And reach out. You can reach out, and it's usually me that responds to your DM. So love to answer your questions and be here for you. And just excited to have had this opportunity to talk with you, Mel.
Amazing. Yeah, this is so fun. I'm so glad we finally made it happen too. So much fun. Okay. That's amazing. I will link to all of your stuff in the show notes, no doubt about it. One last piece of wisdom, if you feel like it, anything you want.
You are totally capable of healing yourself in a myriad of ways. And all you have to do is find one thing to prove that to yourself the first time, to empower yourself to make these choices again and again and deepen your knowledge. You don't have to be a professional herbalist in order to lay down these foundations in your home. You can follow Mel and you can listen to her simple advice on each herb and how to implement them. And learn 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 of these things to do. And before you know it, you're not going to be walking into the doctor's office for every single thing that happens in your house. It is a cost saving, and it is also empowering as a parent and as a human. We don't always have access to doctors. We learned that in the pandemic. So
love that advice. Amazing. Thank you so much, Andrea. I had a blast, like a super duper true blast. So
thank you. I had a great time. Thank you so much, Mel. You have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning into another episode of The Herbalist Path. Being on this journey with you is absolutely incredible. If you dig this episode, please leave me a review on your favorite podcast player and share it with your friends. so that together we can make herbalism hashtag spread like wildflowers. On another note, I must mention that while I know you're getting some good info here, it's important to remember that this podcast is purely for entertainment and educational purposes and is not intended to be a substitute for medical treatment. While the information in this podcast is absolutely relevant, herbs work differently for each person and each condition. That's why I recommend you work with a qualified practitioner, whether that be another herbalist, a naturopath, or your doctor. So thank you again. I am truly honored that you're tuning into these episodes and on the path with me to make sure that there's an herbalist in every home again. Don't forget to share this episode with your friends so that we can make herbalism hashtag spread like wildflowers. I wanted to take a quick pause to show some love and gratitude to our sponsors of the Herbalist Path podcast, who make this show possible for me and possible for you too. So here it goes. Medicinal mushrooms are all the rage these days, if you didn't know already. And with great reason, because they are powerful medicine that can improve your health and your life in so many different ways. When they're well made. Yeah, it's true. There's a lot of stuff on the market that isn't going to be so effective. And that's why you need to find a brand that you can actually trust. For me, that brand is Whole Sun Wellness. And this is the creation of a brilliant woman and fellow mama, Jamie Bonfiglio. She's an international mushroom educator that has been working in the medicinal mushroom industry for years. And this is when she saw firsthand how many other companies take shortcuts when it comes to their products. And Jamie wasn't having it. She set out to build her company the right way. Whole Sun Wellness is here to raise the industry standards so those crap mushrooms on the market aren't getting into your body or your family's body. Whole Sun Wellness is the first company to test and report nutritional facts for all of their extracts. They go beyond industry standards every step of the way, from sourcing to extraction and final testing. And as the owners of the largest medicinal mushroom farm in the United States, Whole Sun Wellness is taking control of their supply chain for the highest quality and absolute full transparency. They're even the first company to include pure mycelium extract in every single product. So when you're thinking of getting medicinal mushrooms for you and your family, Whole Sun Wellness is exactly the ones you want. Also, be sure to check out their new Mycolites. These are the world's first dissolvable electrolyte tablets. They're featuring functional mushroom extracts that'll give you more energy, more stamina, and recovery as well. And who couldn't use all of that? The other thing is, they are these adorable little mushroom-shaped tablets, and they come in like a little Altoids box, but way cooler than Altoids, because they're Mycolites. Anyways, head to wholesunwellness.com to grab yourself some Mycolites and all of the other functional medicinal mushrooms that you and your family need. And of course, you can grab that link right here in the show notes now.